Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Iceland tries to deal with the quintupling of visitors in the last 5 years, and it appears travelers may be asked to help pay for the infamous Mexico Wall.
We have some great train rides here in Northern California. Got a dinner train along the Sacramento River, a similar train trip in the foothills, and of course the famous skunk train in Willits and Fort Bragg. At 3:20, we take you on a trip on the rails.
Steve LaRosa joins Tom in the studio today at 3:35 for another edition of What's Going On, a look at things to see and do around our town or just a short drive away.
And at 3:50, we make RV and fifth wheel fans smarter travelers as we speak with Angel Valenzuela, get some tips on how and where to find the perfect getaway.
It's Sunday afternoon, a little after 3 o'clock, and live from Sacramento, California and Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to The Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome to another edition of the Travel Guys, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, not necessarily, well, kind of, sort of, to my left. Tom Romano here with you in the studio, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, let's see, if I were looking west, no, east.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's you're kind of off to, you're going to have to look south.
South, okay.
Yeah.
you were
and a little to the east.
Yeah, how the Giants doing there at spring training?
Do you have any other topics that we could talk about? Actually, the wins and losses haven't been going all the right way for Giants fans, but the pitching has been rounding into very fine shape, and we have been told by some of the folks down here who have spoken to our group this week that really the main reason for spring training is to make sure that your pitchers are ready to go. And it appears as though there is a chance that the Giants are in pretty good shape heading into the season, and the A's got a great start from one of their top pitchers yesterday, so perhaps the season holds some hope for Northern California baseball fans.
Well, why don't you remind our listeners about the Sports Leisure Vacations trip that you're on, that you do annually, and what's it all about?
Okay, well, we're down here at spring training. Yeah, we could talk about, we'd like to start a new feature on the program called Where in the World is Sports Leisure Vacation? So today, Sports Leisure travelers are here in spring training with us in Arizona, seeing a bunch of ball games. We'll be headed home tomorrow. We have a group in Alaska currently viewing the Aurora Borealis, which is the Northern Lights. So that's a trip that we offer every springtime. And just as we speak right now, we have a group getting on an airplane and flying to Southern California. Tonight, they will be getting on the Sunset Limited and heading to New Orleans, all the way across the country, where some of them will stay on for a New Orleans vacation and some will return home by Sacramento. So where in the world is Sports Leisure Vacations? Phoenix, Arizona, Anchorage, Alaska, and on their way to ride the Sunset Limited. For details on any of those vacations, you can check sportsleisure.com if you'd like to join us on one of those trips.
All right. Well, you know, we've got the travel news that we always do at the top of each show, but I know our listeners are probably on the edge of their seats, those that may have signed up for a special event later on in the program.
Boy, my goodness, Tom, we had almost 300 entries at travelguysradio.com for the two Hamilton tickets that we will be giving away a little bit later on in the program. If you didn't enter yet, it's too late to enter for this week's drawing. The winners have already been selected. But if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can enter to win two tickets to Hamilton, to see the show Hamilton in San Francisco. We will be giving away two more tickets next Sunday and two the following Sunday. So six tickets in all. Just go to travelguysradio.com. There is a very simple entry form there that you can fill out. Or you can send a postcard to Sports Leisure Vacations and just mark it Hamilton Ticket Giveaway, and that will enter you into it. And Tom will be announcing our winner, so be listening, because you have to call in to win the tickets if your name is called.
All right. Well, let's get to it. As always, the top Travel Guys radio program, we do the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Well, Tom, a couple of weeks ago, we told folks that the Delta Airlines people were putting food on transcontinental flights, and indeed, it didn't take very long for one of their major competitors to pop up, and beginning on May 1st, American's flights between New York and both Los Angeles and San Francisco will feature free main cabin meals. So there you go. It doesn't take very long for that to happen. Of course, this doesn't help those of us in Sacramento too much. The Los Angeles and San Francisco transcontinental flights to New York are very, very competitive markets. And so whenever one airline does something to upgrade their service, it's possible that the others will be right behind. You can probably expect that United Airlines is now the only one out in the cold, so they may have some news on how they plan to upgrade their transcontinental service before too awful long. Business travelers feel safest in Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, according to a new study released by the Global Business Travel Association. The study asked respondents to rate 16 destinations around the world as to how safe they were for business travelers. At the top of the list was Washington, D.C., with 73% saying it was safe or very safe. Rounding out the top five were Los Angeles, London, New York, and Munich. Although cities in North America and Western Europe were considered the safest for business travel, at least 20% of respondents only ranked these cities somewhat safe, when the Global Business Travel Association said, which they said could be a testament to the general unease in world travel today.
Yeah, now when, it appear- now when they are saying safest, are they also including the airports that they fly out of?
Safest in the city. If you were just going to those cities to be, and you had to,
So the cities.
I'm not sure that I agree necessarily with the Los Angeles one. The Washington, D.C. one, I tend to feel extremely safe when I'm walking around in Washington, D.C. But like any city, it has its good and its bad neighborhoods, and there are not there are places where you should not be after dark in Washington, D.C., or you wouldn't be feeling 73% safe, that's for certain. The president has suggested that he's going to build a wall to keep illegal immigrants coming in from Mexico, and now it appears as though travelers may be asked to pay for that wall in some way, shape, or form. The new budget from the president's office calls for some decreases in services that are that travelers generally have to pay for. Things like TSA's budget will be cut. The Coast Guard's budget will be cut, and FEMA's budget will be cut. Well, how does this affect travelers? Well, because TSA, this is the same TSA that a year ago was so understaffed and mismanaged that there were chronic bottlenecks at airport security checkpoints. Remember that, Tom, early last summer?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So we got away from that. So now it appears as though we're going to cut the TSA's budget. This is a group that was complaining about being understaffed. We're going to cut their budget. And then it appears as though the Homeland Security budget calls for an increase in the passenger security fee from $5.60 to $6.60 per one-way flight. So if you have four segments, it could end up costing you a couple bucks in each direction. And of course, if the TSA's budget is being cut and the Homeland Security fees are being, that's something that doesn't quite add up to some travelers. Bottom lines, travelers will be paying more and getting less in order to pay for a border wall that has been widely derided as an overpriced, ineffectual vanity project.
Well, wait a minute. What happened to Mexico paying for the wall? I thought Donald and got together and they agreed with Mexico. No, that's not happening.
No, perhaps or perhaps not. Anyway, we'll keep you posted on what goes on there, particularly as this is a travel show, is how it may impact travelers. On our Travel Guys Radio website, we sometimes try to place some things that we don't have time to talk about on the air or things that would be better viewed visually. And we have a couple of those this week. This is a really interesting video, Tom. Someone is proposing that airports have circular runways. So, you know, heretofore, runways have always been north, south, east, west, long stretches of concrete that airplanes would land on. So if you go to travelguysradio.com, you will be able to see a link there to a video that will show you how circular runways would work. and how airlines could land and take off on these banked circular runways, two or three of them at a time, and how three circular runways can actually do the work of four long-distance runways. So it's really quite interesting. TravelGuysRadio.com. There also is another article there that you might find some interest in. Everything you ever wanted to know about bedbugs but were afraid to ask, or that you thought was too disgusting to know. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and not only can you find links to everything that we are talking about on the show today and some of Steve LaRosa's great connections later on, places to go later on in the program, but you can also see the article about bedbugs and the video about circular airport runways. TravelGuysRadio.com, also a great place to enter to win the Hamilton tickets. And finally, in the travel news today, Iceland has experienced a tremendous surge in visitation in their country. And so they are considering some new tourism tax. Tom, this is really quite incredible. They had 500,000 visitors in 2010. They expect 2.3 million this year. So in just a little over half a decade here, these folks have had an incredible, and this is a small country, the infrastructure is just not there, hotels, roads, restaurants, things like that, to be able to accommodate this number of visitors. So they're thinking of raising the prices to hopefully resolve some of the overcrowding at some of the country's most popular tourism events. Quite an interesting situation, but we're seeing this in other spots of the world. Folks in Barcelona are about to vote on something that would increase tourism taxes in their city dramatically. In some cases, it appears as though the number of tourists that are visiting popular tourism destinations is overwhelming those destinations' ability to be able to cope with them. So that could be something that could come into play pretty seriously for those of us who travel in the next few years. But for now, that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK every Sunday, 3 to 4. Okay, let's see here. Coming up, we've got we're going to hit the rails. Central Valley, Sacramento, over on the coast. How many of you have ridden the skunk train? Well, our special guest, Chris Hart, joins us, and we'll go on the rails. And don't forget now, later on in the program, not too long from now, we're going to be announcing our very first winner for a pair of tickets to see Hamilton in San Francisco. And, of course, if you've entered, you be listening, because this is the only way you can win once you've entered, is to hear your name and call in, okay? We are the Travel Guys. More to come.
On the road again.
All aboard with the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And one of my favorite things is a good old train ride. And I know you and the Sports Leisure Vacationers, Mark, take excursions on a number of different trains. And with that being said, we got a special guest who knows all about that sort of thing. Go ahead, Mark, and tell us who our guest is.
Well, we've got Chris Hart with us here, who is part of three different trains in Northern California. So if you are a train buff or a train fan and you're not looking for, you know, regularly scheduled service like the Capital Corridor or the California Zephyr across the country or up into the mountains for the snow, why, if you're looking for something that's more of a sightseeing experience, maybe a little fine dining and stuff, of course, we have the wine train down in Napa, but closer to home here, we have some other options that you might find to be a little bit more reasonably priced. Chris, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
Chris, tell us a little bit about, you've got two dinner trains now, and as the weather is getting warmer, we've had all this rain in the foothills, so the scenery in the foothills is amazing, and I'm guessing the wildflowers and stuff in the next couple months are going to be once in a generation in the foothills. Tell us a little bit about the two dinner trains that you have and how folks can be a part of that.
You are correct. The flowers are already popping up. I was just driving along one of the routes this weekend, and it's already starting to come out, and it's looking fantastic, and it will be a wonderful spring. Especially also like the vernal pools that we have out there, as the water is drying out, those are also spectacular along the Sierra branch out of Oakdale. The Sierra dinner train, as I started back in 99, we just did a major remodel of the train in the last year and a half, where we went in and spent $1.5 million $1 million was fixing up all the cars. So the cars are looking fantastic. We've also been adding all sorts of new trips to it. One of the ones that I really am glad to see happening is that we've brought back our Wild West trip. So we're going to have the Cowboys coming out, and we're going to put on a show on our train down there in Oakdale.
Chris, with the rains and the flooding and so forth, did it impact any of your routes, any of your trains, any of your tracks? How's that look?
We were very fortunate. One of the trains we'll talk about in a bit, the Skunk train, did have some issues. The two trains in the valley didn't. The biggest issue we had was on the Sacramento River train, which we go over a mile and a half long wooden trestle, which you can see right along Interstate 5. And we had no problems either in terms of safety, but there was the perception or the concern about going over the water after that, I think it was the Union Pacific derailment that happened down in Elk Grove. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people were nervous having had seen all those images about going over the water. And it's a shame because that is one of my most favorite things, because you're going over this. It looks like the Great Lakes, and you're going over that trestle. It's wonderful, but I can completely understand people were nervous after seeing that derailment.
Chris, let me ask you about the Sierra Dinner train. What days of the week does it run? What time does it go? Where does it go from? Let's give folks some details.
Sure thing. We're running every weekend of the year. Sometimes we also run midweek, and each weekend is a little bit different. So we'll have a variety of trips, anywhere from the Wild West trips to murder mysteries. We have our High Noon Express, which is a trip that's featuring the 300 movies that we filmed on the railroad. We also have wine trips. We also do our beer tasting trips. We have even a new Vintner dinner trains where we can have a very high-end experience.
And you have sightseeing trips during the week, is that correct?
Yes, we do. So we'd have a variety of the sightseeing trips on both railroads, especially during the summertime. That's going to be a real popular one.
And what's the price on that?
So it varies anywhere from around $30 up to $100, depending on just how many bells and whistles you have.
You've got another dinner train that's even a little closer here to home, the Sacramento River train.
Yeah, the Sacramento River train I started in 2005, and that one we have a similar variety of things. We have our excursion trains, and we also have Wild West shows. We've been doing those for a long time. We bought 5 acres along the Sacramento River, and so we have our own special event site. And so now when the Cowboys hold up the train, they usually we stop at this place right along the river, and we put on a big old barbecue. It's also the same site we use for our Easter trains. And so on the Easter trains, we take the train out and everybody gets off, and we have a big old Easter egg hunt at our the Easter Bunny's patch right along the river.
Chris Hart with Sierra Railroad, our special guest here on the Travel Guys.
Where does the Sacramento River train leave from, and what's the cost?
It boards along the in West Sacramento, 2 miles from the downtown Sacramento area, and the costs there do range in price pretty significantly, also ranging from about $30 all the way up to over $100. It just really depends on whether you want the big fancy dinner or whether you want just a nice relaxing sightseeing trip.
So there are a lot of different options now.
Yep, every single weekend, and we also do add some midweek days.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you before we let you go here about a third train that's part of your repertoire here. The old Skunk train up out of Fort Bragg and Willits, which a couple of years ago, a tunnel collapsed up there, making the traditional run from Fort Bragg to Willits impossible. You have gotten creative and done some other things up there to give people who are going up to the Mendocino area a chance to ride the train. Tell us about it.
We have two major tunnels on the Skunk train, tunnel number one and tunnel number two. They're both about 1,000 feet long, and we had a partial collapse on one of the tunnels real close to Fort Bragg. And so as we've been working out how to fix the tunnel issue, we decided to start offering a short train. And so instead of the normal four-hour route, it was just a short one-hour trip. And the big surprise for us was that the ridership has been through the roof. It's the biggest ridership we've ever had out of Fort Bragg. And so we figured, let's focus on that. So right now we're running a huge quantity of the trips out of Fort Bragg at a decreased price. And then the thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be creating a new special event site there for people to get to. So starting this summer, we're going to let people off the train, be able to do some exploring. We're going to build some trails going through the redwoods and just make it a nice little picnic area. And so it's been a very nice situation for us to...
Let me make sure I understand here. In Fort Bragg, it's a short trip out to Pudding Creek. What is that, about an hour round trip, something like that?
Yeah. It'll be an hour round trip by train, and then once we have the new site ready, we'll add an hour layover in the middle, so you can get off the train and spend time there.
And folks can, this summer, we'll still be able to take the train out of Willits out to the midway point at Northspur.
Exactly. So people who want the longer trip can still do that out of Willits.
What do trips on the Skunk Train run?
They range anywhere from 25 for the short trip up to 84, I believe, for the long trip out of Willits.
And let me ask you one more thing, Chris, before you go. The old rail cars, the old single rail car that used to run that route in the wintertime and the off-season, are those still around?
Yeah, the M100 and the M300, they look sort of like a San Francisco trolley, and we still use those. And they're a lot of fun, because on those, you can walk up to the very front of them, stand there next to the operator, be having a conversation with him as he guides you through the trees.
And yeah, for folks who haven't seen one before, it's kind of like a cable car on a train track. So there are three train opportunities for train buffs there. You can go up to Oakdale and get sightseeing during the day, or you can catch a dinner in the evening. We've got the dinner train in West Sacramento, or you can head, if you're headed up to the Mendocino Coast, you've got two options up there. We will put a link to all of the train rides on travelguysradio.com so that you can find out information on any of the three. Chris, thank you so much for the update on all the trains, and if you have anything special coming up, make sure you check back in with us.
Thank you guys very much.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and coming up now, I know you've been anxiously awaiting those of you who signed up to win those Hamilton tickets. We'll be drawing our first name. Actually, I already have it. I have the winner's name right here in front of me, and I will be announcing it right after we do the news and right before we do the infamous What's Going On in Northern California with Steve LaRosa. It's just part of what we do here on the Travel Guys.
You can travel by road, you can fly by plane, you can take a
ride. It's the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, and in just a moment, Steve LaRosa, as we do the What's Going On. Okay, folks, as you know, Sports Leisure Vacations and the Travel Guys has tickets to give away to see Hamilton in San Francisco, a very, very popular ticket. Some back row orchestra seats. If you would like to enter to win, we already have our winner for this week, and I'm going to announce that in just a minute. But you can go to travelguysradio.com, and on the left-hand side of the page is a place for you to put in your name, answer a question, nothing. We're not going to sell you anything. And you can enter to win, and then you have to be listening next Sunday between 3 and 4 for your name to be announced. Or you can send a postcard to the Sports Leisure Vacations office and enter that way as well. So here we go. The winner of a pair of tickets to see Hamilton. And let's see, this will be for the Wednesday, July 12th. Showing of Hamilton in San Francisco. It is a rear part of the orchestra seating area. And our winner is Matthew P. Anderson. Matthew P. Anderson. Matthew, give us a call here at the station at 921. Thank you very much. 921-1530. That's 921-1530. Andrew, we're going to give you 10 minutes to call in and claim your tickets. And if you don't make it, or if Andrew doesn't call, then we've got another name that we'll call in 10 minutes. So there you go. Once again, our winner for the Hamilton tickets, Matthew P. Peterson. Okay, it's that time.
What's going on? What's going on?
To find out what's going on in Northern California and beyond with the What's Going On guy, Mr. Steve LaRosa. Steve, welcome to the Travel Guys.
And you know, Tom?
Yes?
Great to be back.
It is. It is great to be back.
I have a cornucopia to share with you.
A cornucopia. I always say, isn't that Carmen Miranda? She wore one of those on her head, did she not? Wasn't that what that was?
Well, it was a modification of a cornucopia, I believe.
All right. Okay, well, let's get it on.
Well, we start at the Crest Theater, and appearing Saturday, April 2nd at 7:30 is going to be the famous Sons of Champlin with also on the same bill, Lydia Pence and Cold Blood.
Oh, yeah.
And that's at the Crest Theater, 1013 K Street, and you can get tickets at Ticketfly.com.
There you go. And we'll remind our listeners, they can go to travelguysradio.com. We're going to have a link to all of Steve's stuff there,
you
too,
are correct,
just in
sir.
Case you happen to miss any of these. Okay.
And then right across town, there's going to be a free concert at the California Automobile Museum, and it's the Capital Pops concert, and that's this Friday, the 24th at 7 p.m. And, of course, the Automobile Museum is located at 2200 Front Street just off Broadway. And, by the way, I was just there today, and they've got an incredible exhibition of antique fire trucks.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's you can't believe this stuff. Horse-drawn, all the old classic stuff. Now, that started on the 16th, and it goes through the 29th. And you can go on calautomuseum.org. And now we're heading up. How'd you know, Luis? We're heading up to Folsom for comedian Louis Anderson. He's appearing at the Harris Center in Folsom.
I would, if you would have asked me, I would have said gone. Passed away. Louis Anderson's still around, still performing.
Live and in person.
All right.
That's going to be Thursday, April 6th, and you can get tickets at harriscenter.net. Now we're back over to West Sacramento.
Well, sure. I could tell by the rail whistle there.
Yeah. Now, this one's kind of fun. It's Kenny Neal and the Neal Family Band, and it's a presentation by the Sacramento Blues Society. And here's we're back to the fire motif again. They are appearing at Station 1. Now, this is the redone fire station over in West Sacramento. On the ground floor.
There's that fire truck from earlier.
Okay, buddy, where's the fire? Okay, so it's located above Burgers and Brews, but they got a little event center where they do these shows upstairs. Now, this is 317 3rd Street in West Sacramento, and that's going to be Friday, March 31st, and you can get tickets at sacblues.com. Now we're off to...
somewhere far away.
A little southwest to Reno, we're going to go see Vince Gill and Lyle Lovett. Now, Tom, they're appearing at the Reno Ballroom Saturday, March 25th at 7 p.m., and you can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Now we're off to Stockton. Luis burned a little rubber there, and he was on a dirt track when he did it. That's amazing. It's the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series, and it's going to be at the Stockton Dirt Track. And that's going to be March 24th and 25th, and you can get tickets at StocktonDirtTrack.com.
Our buddy Ron Indaya used to, I think, call the races at that track, did he not?
He did, and yeah. I went and visited him one time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, God bless him. And, okay, so now we're heading back to Sacramento. Okay. I think we're coming up the Port of Stockton on that one, Tom. Did that sound like a...
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're back to the Crest Theater for a very special, it's 1,000 Kisses Deep. This is the Songs of Leonard Cohen. And Paul Emery is going to be leading 13 musicians on stage doing a tribute to Mr. Cohen. And I think that's his dulcet tones right there.
She broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah.
Man, does anybody do a lousy version of that song? I mean, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Leonard Cohen, you know, can't beat him. Now, that's going to be this coming Saturday, March 25th at 7:30, and you can get tickets online at swell-productions.com. That's swell-productions.com. And Tom, tell the folks who's on the line right now.
Right now on the line, ladies and gentlemen, the man in charge, the man who's making it all happen. Paul, are you there? Paul Emery is joining us here on the Travel Guys.
Welcome. Actually, I'm right here in KVMR's studio talking to you as we speak here in Nevada City.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Are we simulcasting, Paul, or are you just...
No, we're not simulcasting. I'm trying to fit into some live thing that's going to be happening here. But it's all chaos. But that's radio, right? That's the way it works.
You got it. Well, Paul, since we got you on the line,
you shouldn't do it.
give us a little bit of a rundown of what people can expect when they attend the Songs of Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, this is a show that I put together about 6 years ago, and we produced it up here every year for about 3 years. At our local theater, the Nevada Theater in the Center for the Arts. I have what I have is 14 musicians. Actually, we have eight musicians and six singers, and we go through a huge repertoire of Leonard songs, all the way from his early acoustic music, which we do in an acoustic style, all the way to his new stuff that he performed with a full six-piece band, and so. The range of songs we cover goes all the way back to Suzanne, which was 1966, all the way to two new songs off of some of them off of his newest albums. So it's a really, really big show. It's wonderful, wonderful singers and musicians. I think I've accumulated pretty much some of the best musicians in Nevada County to come to Sacramento and do the show. And it's our second time there. We had such a great time last year and drew a nice audience, and so we decided to do it again. It's particularly poignant this year since Leonard passed away last fall. So, we give the song our reverent touch. Let's just say that to all the songs.
Now, Paul, are you the lead singer?
I'm one of the singers. There is no lead singer in this. Mm-hmm. There's we have... For singing the lead songs, we have three women and two guys, three of us actually. So the whole thing moves from singer to singer. We're not doing the type of show that tries to emulate Leonard or tries to sing like him. We just do our versions of his songs.
And what instruments are on stage again?
Yeah. Oh, well, we have the standard electric guitar, keyboard, bass, and drums, and then I play acoustic guitar. Then we have saxophone, Tom Schmidt, who plays saxophone and woodwinds. And then we have a cello player, Arthur Gould, who plays cello. And so, yeah, it's a full 6-7-piece band, and then we just alternate different singers. And we have three singers that just do backup singing, so it's got a really big, full sound.
A Thousand Kisses Deep, Songs of Leonard Cohen. Thanks so much, Paul, for spending some time with us here on The Travel Guys. And Steve LaRosa, thank you for the What's Going On.
You're most welcome.
Okay, coming up after the break, we're going to, if you've ever wanted to hit the open road in a fifth-wheeler or an RV, boy, do we have information that's going to make you a smarter traveler. And by the way, we do have our winner for the Hamilton show tickets. We just got a call a little while ago from Matthew. So congratulations, Matthew. More details on how you could win coming up at the in about 10 minutes right here on The Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to move.
Welcome, everyone. You've got The Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as promised, we're going to go out on the open road. My special guest this afternoon on The Travel Guys is Angel Valenzuela. He's the general manager at Folsom Lake RV. And RVing, fifth wheeling, got a trailer, get out on the road and basically have your home with you is probably more popular than it's ever been. Welcome to The Travel Guys, Angel.
Hey, thank you for having me.
For those that may already have vehicles like this or trailers like this, you know, what are the most popular places to go?
You know, we're kind of fortunate where we live. We live kind of smack dab in one of the best camping centers in the state of California. I mean, you're 90 miles in either direction of heading and seeing open range coast all the way out into Bodega Bay. Or making a trip down Highway 1 and ending up and staying at a place like Ragged Point or some of our finer coastal destinations like Pismo Beach, which aren't too far from here when you really think about it. Or just 90 miles up the road, you have Tahoe and some of the most pristine mountain and lake campgrounds you've ever seen. Or if you head off into Bishop or Brownstown campgrounds off of 395, you're going to find some of the most beautiful backcountry and mountain camping you can see.
For those that may have just ventured into this form of travel, Angel, what is the top 1-2 mistakes that people make when they travel on their own with a travel trailer or RV?
Well, you know, some of the top mistakes are they're not prepared for a camping trip, and by prepared, you know, that means you know your local service and dealer probably should do a good job of showing you things that you need to install in your trailer that prepare you for a camping trip, like a battery disconnect. It's something that most people don't realize, that if you're not prepared to store your power on a battery to turn it from off to on, which not all travel trailers and fifth wheels have on them, you can wake up with a dead battery in your trailer pretty quick.
Oops.
Or a battery that's drained itself. So a disconnect's a nice feature to have just alone in a travel trailer. Another common mistake might be something as simple as not having the right chemicals or tank odorizers to assure that your trailer functions properly, or using even the proper toilet paper. You would think that would be something simple. We go to the grocery store and buy toilet paper, right?
But, not
but
true.
But it's something specific to trailers.
Oh, you know, my, I didn't know that.
It's specific to trailers. It's actually RV toilet paper is actually made specifically for camping, for an RV and for its holding tanks for dissolution and easily dissolving product.
Got it. How about forgetting to call ahead wherever it is that you're going to go and reserve yourself a place?
I can't tell you how important that is. I do a plug for a website that we have no affiliation. It's called Camp America. And you're able to use that website to kind of decipher your needs for a campground, first of all. So, you know, if you have your grandkids with you and you want to use, a campground that might have a swimming pool or a tennis court, or, you know, down to specificity for outdoor recreation, you can do that. Or if you want to use a campground that might be very utilitarian in its sense, where you could, get right out in the middle of nowhere and be disconnected, you could specify that as well. So those are just some of the features that you would find and use. In today's camping environment, you know, campgrounds can pack up as much as 6 to 8 months in advance. So you've really got to get online and book those state and beach campgrounds way ahead of time. You're not going to, 2 days before 4th of July, show up to one of the coastal campgrounds and expect to have a spot right away, because you're probably going to be turned away.
Got it. Our special guest from Folsom Lake RV, Angel Valenzuela, would you recommend that people maybe rent one and give it a try to find out if it's something for them before they purchase?
Well, if you're investing in a motorhome, I would tell you, we don't specialize in that area, but if you were investing in a motorhome, I'd say yes, rent one. It's difficult because a lot of good down payment is spent on something that you really enjoy doing. That being said, rentals are a great way to see if you even really like RVing to begin with. It's not an inexpensive option, but it's certainly a good way to do that. So, yes.
Angel, how do people decide whether they're RV people or they're trailer people?
Well, it's like the Ben Franklin test at your kitchen table. You write down the list of positives and negatives, right? One of the first things you need to do is determine the vehicle that you have now. So in buying a motorhome, sometimes you're buying a whole second vehicle, much like a car. And we know that a car is not an inexpensive purchase these days. I mean, heck, a nice SUV can be $60,000, $70,000, almost $80,000, and all you have is a steering wheel and a radio inside, ultimately. Determining what's best for you, you look at your tow vehicle first. What do you have in your driveway now? And can it tow what you want to look at? Not knowing the specifications of your tow vehicle, or if you can even tow anything at all, might be a helpful determination. The difference between a fifth wheel and a trailer or a tent camper is going to boil down to your level of interest. Maybe the capacity to use something every week might be an important function. And then you've got to determine how many people you're going to sleep. What are your needs for capacities? I mean, are you thinking you're going to go and sit in Burning Man for 2 weeks? If you're going to be out in the middle of nowhere, do you need 100 gallons of fresh water? Or if you're just going to be someone who's going to use the wonderful parks and campgrounds that are privately and publicly held, would you need smaller capacities and tank sizes and sleeping arrangements and food storage ability and things of that nature that all come into play that that specialists in this industry, and especially here at our dealership, are proud to say that, you know, we take time to kind of help you narrow those things down pretty quickly.
Angel Valenzuela with Folsom Lake RV. Angel, before we wrap it up here today, tell me a story about one of your most interesting trailer trips, fifth wheel, that you and your family have taken over the years. You got a special one that comes to mind?
I absolutely have one that I think that a lot of parents who have raised their children can really relate. You know, as any parent who's raised daughters to through high school, and you're just breathing a heavy sigh of relief to get to graduation day, we always save money for a trip for every one of our kids. Of course, I had an envelope with some nice money for my middle daughter, Katie, to go on her high school trip for the summer. I told her, hey, pack up, pack the bags, go to Europe, have a good time, do something. And we were sitting at our local steakhouse, and I handed my daughter the envelope, and she handed it back to me. And she said, Dad, I don't want to go out of state. Can you call your friend at the campground down in Pismo, and can you see if he can get you two spaces so we can park Grandma and Grandpa's RV and our RV side by side, so me and a couple of my friends can go camping for a week or two with you and Mom and Dad, because we've raised all these kids that have gone camping with us.
It was
unbelievable. So for 2 weeks in Pismo Beach, my daughter graduated high school, and we had two RVs side by side, and we camped out and set my campfires every night with a bunch of 18 and pre-17 and 18 and 19-year-olds with s'mores and food and a lot of outdoor activities for 2 weeks that we did with our kid. And, you know, now that she's 25 and she's got a daughter of her own, we're exposing her to camping, and it's generational, but I couldn't help but feel how good it felt to raise this kid for, 18, 20 years that wanted to spend her 2 week summer vacation before heading off to school with her parents. And, yeah, and that's kind of what RVing gives you. It helps you unplug, disconnect, and reconnect with your kids.
That's awesome, Angel. Congratulations to you and the wife and the kids. And that's once again Angel Valenzuela. You can find him at Folsom Lake RV. Thanks for joining us, Angel.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too.
Steve, you ever think of hitting the open road in an RV or a trailer or something?
I actually have.
When you get to that age?
I actually have. I listened to a blog called something about RVs. I don't remember the blog.
All right, I'm looking forward to giving that a try. Once again, congratulations to Matthew Anderson, winner of our pair of tickets to see Hamilton. Again, go to travelguysradio.com. That's where you can enter to win next week. By the way, if you've already entered, we're going to carry your names over week after week, so you don't have to. In fact, don't register twice. You can only enter once. And if you enter multiple times, you could get kicked out of the drawing. So get yourself entered. We'll be calling a name next week. You got to be listening to win. So make sure you're here for that. And you can send a postcard to Sports Leisure Vacations and enter by mail if you don't have a computer. Steve, somebody called wanted to know about how to get those tickets to see that Leonard Cohen show.
That's going to be this Saturday, March 25th, 7:30 at the Crest Tom. And tickets you can get at swell-productions.com. That's swell-productions.com.
As Mark always says, dance like nobody's watching.
And watch like nobody's dancing.
We are the Travel Guys. See you next week.